Hello and welcome to 10 out of 10 Mood Watch Again with Lauren, but no Ross, because today we have a guest star. We've got my big sister Lee. Say hello.
Hello.
So this week we are doing the 1986 classic Highlander.
Best movie.
Thank you. This has been a pure controversial take, but because when I said, oh, we're going to do Highlander next week, some people have been like, amazing, yes, and other people have been like, why the fuck are you doing this movie?
Why? What was the reasons for not liking it?
Just the reasons why we love it.
Right.
The reason that it's like a total B movie. So I'll jump into what Ross normally does. I'm going to need to pick up your wagon, Ross. So Highlander was released in August of 1986. It was directed by Russell
McKeehy.
Thank you. starring Christophe Lambert, Sean Connery and Clancy Brown. It had a budget of $19 million and the box office was $12.9 million, but it made back most of its money on home video. So why do you love this movie?
Absolutely everything about it. As soon as it starts, Queen soundtrack, at the wrestling,
yes!
And then straight into Highlander, you know, fighting. And
yep.
It's just awesome. I love everything about it. I think Christopher Lambert's just charming. I loved how he looked. I love
yep.
his trench coat, his
yep.
white trainers. That was my ideal look.
I was going to say, that's like a quintessential Lee outfit.
It is. Nice wee pair of white Diadoras. I was quite happy. Yeah. Even Sean Connery, who I was never a big fan of, is just awesome in
yes.
Highlander. He's got this lovely, charming wee role where, you know, he plays an ancient Egyptian called Ramirez.
Ramirez.
It's just, I love how fresh it was at the time. It was edited like it's nothing you'd ever seen before.
Yeah.
As I say, the soundtrack by Queen. Oh, I love how the music integrates with
yep.
the sounds, you know, like when you hear like the people in the police station talking and then that becomes part of the music.
Yes.
I love like when Clancy's in the car and that all becomes part of the soundtrack
yep.
as well. I think everybody in it, the casting is awesome, from
yeah.
Celia Imrie, James Cosmo. It's just, I love the sense of humour in it. There's a lovely kind of like,
yeah.
Like you can laugh during it as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't take itself seriously at all.
No.
Big Clancy, like you hadn't seen Clancy before. Well,
yeah.
you had in The Bride, but like this was his big role, you know, and absolutely amazing.
Yeah, what like a boot the door off the hinges moment, because
he's fantastic.
He's like my favourite thing about this movie.
Just rolls with it.
Yeah.
Just really obviously enjoys what he's doing.
Absolutely. Because I remember being a kid and you had the poster up on the wall
yeah.
and I just remember being younger and seeing like the Christophe Lambert with the arms out and the Kurgan with the big skull thing. And I remember, do you know what I mean, when you're a kid and you see something that kind of freaks you out but in a good way and you're
yeah.
like, what is this?
Yeah,
what is this?
Totally.
So like when I finally got to watch it, I was like, amazing. And then you and me used to watch it all the time, like saying the lines back to the
movie. I still can. I'll tell you something funny about the poster. So I'd always thought, you know how the front of the poster there's a sword with a hand on it?
Yeah.
I'd never clicked it was the Kurgan's hand and sword until the other night. I was like, why has Christopher got a weird thing in his finger? And then I realised it was the Kurgan's weird glove thing. I was like, man, I've stared at that poster like my whole life.
I was going to say, how long has that poster
I know.
Been there?
Should eat it.
I remember, like, because we'd watched the film and then me and mum and dad had went on holiday up north and they had like purposely went out of their way so we could go to Ellendon and Castle in the film, and we went on the
stand
tour.
With one finger.
Yeah. And we went and did the tour and I must have done that tour guide's nothing, because the whole way around it I was like, I bloody well walk out of here, and doing all these like terrible Highlander quotes. But then there was like pictures of Highlander all over the castle, so I was like, really, you want guys like me?
Yeah, absolutely, you're the bread and butter.
Totally pure running down the thing being like, yes, I was so good. No, I love this movie. But like, because, and not saying that it's shit, but like because it is like, it's got that B movie quality to it, I just think it makes it like you say, like it's so funny, but then the action bits are like so good and it's just chef's kiss.
They make everything, it makes absolutely everything work. Like
mm-hmm.
see all the mistakes, like see when the Kurgan first comes into it and there's a big shadow over him, that's because that was from the crane that they used to film
yeah.
it, but it worked.
Yeah.
It kind of like him having this big ominous shadow of him really worked,
totally.
And they embraced all that, and I
totally.
Think that's why it totally works. Like as I say, with Christophe and his French accent. It works. It's like, you know, but the thing is, like, you know, he gets asked, where's your accent from? That's a different place.
Yes.
You know, it's just,
yes.
it's just a what?
Yes. I think that's why his accent It's like they address it and they move on. I mean, they're just like, yeah, of course he talks like this because he has lived for this long and blah blah blah. So you're just like, I may bother.
It
yeah, totally. Totally. So we'll dive into proper thoughts and opinions because obviously we have a lot to say. Yeah. So just first off, the soundtrack is quite possibly the best movie soundtrack ever. It's so good. Every song's a banger. There is not one skip.
Yeah, but not just that. Like, see, Michael Kamen, isn't it? It does mm-hmm. the rest of it. His music works brilliantly yep. as well. I love like how it just it brings it all together with the Queen soundtrack.
Yes, yes.
So do you want a bit of useless information?
Dive in!
Right, okay. So Queen were supposed to do like Princes of the Universe, so they did that for the opening yep. title. And so they got to see the film and they just fell in love with the film and loved the whole thought of immortality, and they were like, do you mind if we do an album?
I crack on, amazing.
So they did an album and then they integrated it in this.
Amazing, okay, that. Cool. That's so funny because one of my bits of useless, not even useless information, I think it was an was how the fuck did this movie get Queen?
Yeah.
Because like, Queen were one of the biggest bands of the 80s, and it's like, how'd you get one of the biggest bands of the 80s to do like a D-list movie, do you know what I mean?
I think part of it is what actually got the film made. Done. Yeah. Yeah. It's getting Sean on board. That made everybody want to sign
That's
up.
That's so mad. That's so funny. Because every Queen song in it is just great. Like, see, when Hammer to Fall comes on, I'm always like, wait.
So even like they didn't know as well, like he was going to be singing, you know, Frank Sinatra, New York.
Yes,
but it works.
It totally works. It totally works. I know we've already talked about Christopher Lambert. He's Christopher Lambert. I know if we talk about his Scottish accent being shocking, but like, you just don't hate it. You're just like, I nay bother, crack on. But it's so funny. Like, everyone who is actually Scottish is putting on a shit Scottish accent to match his. Like, James Cosmo's even at the back being like, oh yes, no problem. And it's like, we don't actually talk like that. I've always got a soft spot for James Cosmo.
Always, though. Always.
I just need to dive into Clancy Brown for at least half an hour, right? Like, he makes this movie. The second he comes in, even that big skull mask, like, again, I remember being a kid watching this and being like, what the fuck is that? Do you know what I mean? But, like, in the best way. And then just as the movie goes on, he chews the scenery in the nicest, and I mean that in the best way possible. Like, every scene he's on, your eyes are on him. Like, he's just big guy, big voice, and you're like,
oh, he just brings it. Even the scene, like, where Candy turns up at the door.
Hey, Candy.
Of course you are. He's just, yeah, that was brilliant.
It's the bit as well when he's in the car and it's like, a head which till this time has no name.
I know his name. And then again, Straight Queen comes in.
Yeah, it just
works. But I guess that comes from Russell McKay being like a music video director, you know?
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
What, you didn't know he was a music video director?
No.
Yeah, like, so that's what he'd done before it. He did Hunters at Elton John videos.
Oh,
but
really?
His big one before it was White Boys, Duran Duran.
Okay.
So you see how that kind of works?
Right, yeah, I'm with you.
So he'd done one movie before it, Razorback.
Okay.
Which was like a horror movie, but so they could get him cheap. The producers were cheap.
Okay.
They didn't want to spend any money on it. And so they kind of just signed up everybody who was, you know, nobody yet.
Yeah.
Apart from Sean.
Yeah. Because you were saying that, like, Sean Connery's the one that kind of got everybody on, like, got them the money and things like that.
Yeah, so so Gregory Wyden, the guy who wrote the story, he was at, I think it was UCLA, and it was, like, his final year, and his lecturer was like, I think you should send that story away, it's a cracking story. So some producers picked it up. They, like, paid him, like, rock bottom kind of thing, but they were like, we'll give you a percentage of the budget.
Yeah.
So they're thinking, he's not going to be getting much, but we might make a few quid out of this movie. And then because it was called Highlander, they thought, Sean Connery. So Sean Connery was like, he wasn't interested in McLeod. He was like, I'll do Ramirez though, because that makes sense.
It's so good. Just comes in and Juan Tan Sanchez Ramirez. Totally. Like, bother.
So Sean comes on, budget obviously goes up a bit, you know. Then they get Russell McKay involved,
mm-hmm.
and then so they're looking for McLeod. Think about Kurt Russell, but they're going to have to pay him some bucks as well, you know. So they think, oh, he's this French guy that's just won a César. He's going to be back in Europe. He'll help our European audience, So they get him. And then, as I say, the budget kind of goes up again. And then they were like, oh, who are we going to get for the bad guy? So they thought about Arnie, but Arnie didn't want to do another bad guy
Conan.
Role, because he was just off the Terminator.
Oh, right,
no,
okay,
it was just
right,
like,
okay.
He's like, I don't want to do any more bad guys.
I was more thinking, like, because obviously, like, Conan and that, he's done, he's like, I'm a big muscly, like, medieval guy.
No, he just didn't want, if you think about it, like, what other bad guys is Arnie Dunn?
No, yeah.
He just wanted to play good guys.
Yeah, yeah,
true, that,
yeah.
And be loved.
Yeah.
So they didn't know who they were going to get for the bad guy. And Russell McKay, as I say, who did music videos, he was chatting to Sting, who just made a film called The Bride.
Oh, I ain't bother. I'm just chatting up Sting.
Totally. So he's like, I've just worked with this big bloke from America called Clancy. And he says he's a nice big guy. So he brings in Clancy to talk to the producers. And the producer's like, oh, you're perfect, but we're not going to pay you anything. But you can come over to the Highlands and have a good time.
I ain't bother.
So, but Clancy was just starting out. He was like 27, 28. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, okay, why not? And so it turns out that Clancy didn't get a penny for it.
At all.
He'd signed somewhere. I think he said it was a BAFTA contract. I'm not sure what that means, but like, he gets no residuals. Not, he did not make a penny from it. But obviously, he's thinking, I'm going to be working in a film with Big Sean.
Yeah,
just,
totally.
You know, he's thinking, but I mean, like you say,
he's the best part of the movie. Like, obviously, Sean's great. We'll talk about Sean in more detail. And obviously, Christopher Lambert's great. But the Kargan's just the best bit about the movie. Like, everybody comes in. So, like, that's pure amazing to me, because if I think Highlander, the first thing I think of is the Kargan. And he's just, because he shows up to every, like, Comic Con.
It does. And see, the thing is, when you hear him talk about it, like, he's so nice and chill. He doesn't have any bad feelings about it. But when he's talking about it, he's like, and he's talking about, like, Gregory, he's like, that guy made millions and good on him, but it's a one in a million story.
Oh,
that,
totally,
you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, the fact that he actually got what he was due for it, even though Clancy didn't. The guy got the story, did, you know? That's fair enough.
That's so funny. That's mad.
It's kind of sad as well, though. You'd think, like, they would be like, right, this guy made it. Let's give him something.
Yeah, this guy steals every scene he's in. Like, even if it was like, oh, here's, like, the residual of a residual. Do you know what I mean? And then he's like, oh, here's a wee pound for Highlander. Like,
I know. But no, he seems pretty cool about it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I know he's having a good life. He's went on a SpongeBob job. Mr. Krabs. Like, see, as well, like, obviously you're saying about, like, Sean Connery bringing in all the money and stuff like that. Like, this is kind of when Sean Connery was, like, in his older but still bankable star, like, category. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously later on in the career it was like,
He did some lovely wee cameos in the 80s, like that, Untouchables. So that was the thing as well. So he was contracted to do 3 days for 500 grand.
Okay.
And anything after that, he used to get 500 grand per day.
Okay.
So, like, Russell McKay was like, all the cameras, kept filming every single thing. And I think one of the cameras malfunctioned or something, so he had to do an extra 2 days. So that was another million they had to come up with.
Jammy bastard,
I know. But he brought it apart, like, the crew absolutely loved him. Apparently, like, plied them with whiskey and, like,
perfect,
threw a great rap party. You know, it's one of the few things I've heard where Sean was a nice guy.
Because when we were doing League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, we were looking up this stuff, and not one of them had one nice thing to say about Sean Connery. Like, your man who plays Hyde, I can never remember his name. But he was like, nah, dick. Him and the director were like scrapping and all this kind of stuff. So I was kind of worried about, like, more horror stories about Sean Connery.
Yeah, well, it seems to have been kind of, I suppose, if you're being 500 grand for a couple of days' work, you know.
That is the absolute
And then, like, the beginning bit, you know, where he does the talking. He basically phoned that in from his bathroom, so he got that lovely echo on it. You know, he's back, where is it? You live, Bahamas or whatever.
Yeah.
He's just like, before time. Shut up, dear. Shut up. I'm filming.
Moving silently down through. Oh, bugger. Oh, my God. I love him. There's so many parts in this movie as well. Like, see, if I, this is so daft, but when I need to spell the word balance, I just hear him in my head being like, B-A-L-E, and it's like, perfect, Sean, thank you. But I just love that obviously, Sean Connery's never going to change his voice, right? So you can be a Spanish-Egyptian prince, all you like with that. It's like in Untouchables as well, where he's Irish for, like, a sentence.
Yeah.
And then it's like, nope, I'm back to where I am.
Yeah. It doesn't matter, because it's Sean.
Exactly.
If it's some actors, just it doesn't matter.
Nah. And see, going a bit into the movie where we've got, like, obviously now special effects are, like, everything, but in this movie, what I love, but I know this is something that people are like, that's so cheap. I love that the special effects in this movie is just cartoons. Like, see when he goes through the quickening and he gets the prize and it's like the cartoon ghost eating him, and I'm like, perfect, yes, do it again.
It doesn't matter. Again, it's like there's so many wrong things about this movie.
It just works.
It just has this lovely charm to it.
Yeah. And like, I love all the, like, cartoon, like, thunderbolts, like, coming through him and all this. And it's like, perfect. It doesn't, for me personally, it does not take away from the movie, but all I've heard today when I said to people, oh, we're going to do Hounslow, they were like, oh my God, this movie's awful. It's so bad. Like, it's really badly made. The effects are terrible. And I was like, you're all raised wrong, man. Like, what? This movie's great.
I know. It probably helped, like, seeing it when you were a kid.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
Yeah. I was thinking about that today. Like, I think if I'd watched it now, I'd have been like, I'm not entertaining this.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what I mean? But, like, as a kid, you know, mum and dad saw it, and I was like, I want to see that. But I couldn't see it at the cinema. And then as soon as I saw it in video, I was just in love.
Yeah.
I just absolutely loved it. I wanted to watch it over and over and over again.
Yes. And then, because I was obviously like seeing the poster and stuff, and there can be only one. And then when I finally got to watch it, I was like, yes, this movie is everything I wanted to be. Yes.
It is from the word go. No, it just totally doesn't stop. And you don't care about like Daft Brenda or, you know what I mean, the bat. You don't care about any of that.
Nah.
You just go it.
Yeah, totally.
Leave your brain at the door and enjoy it.
And that's the thing, is like sometimes you just want 90 minutes just entertainment. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't need to think about anything. I can just put this on, watch Big Sean.
Do not think about it.
Don't think about these
plot holes. Don't think
So we dive into favourite scene. Do you have a favourite scene of this movie?
Funny, if my favourite scenes are like, can you walk? I'll bloody well walk out of here. I love that one. And then like Stephen, when he gets Sean, paps him off the boat.
Yes.
And he's like, I can breathe. And then he's like, I love that.
He's that's a bad laugh. I love
he's
that.
Like, cut
down
on
the seaweed.
Totally. I love those bits. Of course, the scene where he rescues Rachel when she's a wee girl with the Nazis and that.
Yeah.
Oh, there's another one for you.
Okay.
So he knew that was going to be like a really horrible scene for this kid. And he's like, he's film with her, and he just throws out the line, but it's a kind of magic. And so he threw that in himself.
Seriously?
I
always thought that was just because of the Queen song.
Nah, he threw that in just because he wanted to kind of like, you know,
make it nice for her.
Yeah, just so what, you know, because you get a big Nazi, right?
I 100%
you know? But you can see that from him, like he smiles even though he's like, he's the one.
Yeah.
You know, when he can take out their Kurgan, he's got a nice way about him.
No, totally. He's got a lovely wee chin.
He does.
My favourite scene, and I know I've just said it, but just every scene the Kurgan said, like, he was always my favourite.
Yeah.
Like, but especially, and I know it's like a pure nothing scene, but it's after Christopher Lambert's getting interrogated in the police and all they're chatting, and then it's like, a garage is wondered by the sprinkler. Like, yep. And then it's just him being like, I know his name, here I am. Like, that's just so good. The whole bit is so good. But I also love it's the battle like up in the Highlands, and it's Christopher Lambert like, they all run away, and your man for Emmerdale will be like, ah, stand by me, laddie.
I never understood, like, his brothers and his cousins have got like two men on him. He's like, nobody will find me. Why don't you go and help him then, Connor? Do you know what I mean? Just you wondering about it. Don't go fight me.
What's happening? Your brother's getting like stabbed in the face.
And then as soon as he, like, they're all pure pile into the Kurgan.
So funny, man. So funny. We'll dive into some useless information. I know we've already papped some, but I feel like we have a lot to say about this one. So I've got a couple just from the start. Like, at the beginning of the movie, as we're going into the wrestling match, I actually thought, I've always been like, what is that mad, like, whirring noise? Like,
the helicopter noise?
Turns out it's not even a helicopter. It's basically, they set up this, like, giant rig, and there was just, like, hundreds of wires and this, like, motorized camera, and the whirring is just the camera being like,
they just kept it in.
That's
what I mean. Like, that's why it's like, they kept in all these, like, happy accidents.
Yes, yeah, which totally adds to it as well, because I always thought it was just like, there's some really good mid-setting music. And then it's like, no, it's just the sounds of this motorized camera, like, going this way, going that way, going, you know what I mean?
I don't know whether it's because of the editing so fast, but you do watch it and you think, what is that? But then 2 seconds later, you're involved in the next scene.
Yeah,
so it doesn't
really
matter.
I think that's what they've done that on purpose. They'll be like, nobody look too close. In the Highland battle scenes, they actually use, like, real clansmen, if you will. Like, they used all the people from the villages who genuinely did have beef with each other.
Yeah.
So, like, they were going in all dressed up in their, like, Highlander gear, like, yell action, and they would just beat each other up, use all these weapons to actually batter each other. And then as soon as the director would say cut, all you would hear would be like, nurse, doctor, nurse. And like, there's an interview with Christopher Lambert, and he's just howling about it. He's like, I just went in and was like, what the fuck?
Well, he probably couldn't see what was happening.
Yeah. You were saying he's blind.
Yeah, well, he's not blind. I think it's called myopia or something like that? Myopia. So he can't, it's like a nearsightedness, and he can't see without his glasses at all, and he can't wear contacts. He's been hundreds of injuries doing his own stunts doing movies so now because he can't see what's happening.
That'll be why he's got that. He's probably trying to pass it off as a smoulder, but it's just a
squint. Yeah. Well, apparently as well, that was why he was put in Tarzan, because they wanted somebody with a faraway look. And he had it all the time.
Because what is that over there? Cool. I love that. I've never seen his Tarzan. I've seen him in Beowulf. That movie is dreadful, but the soundtrack's good.
I know that was when it was one at the time. I was like, oh, this is rocking, and I found it again recently on Prime or something. I was like, oh man, that's unwatchable.
I hate that. I hate when there's movies that you love back in the day that you watch them and you're like, damn it, man, I wish I'd just saved this. Like,
I know. I remember looking for that soundtrack for years, and now I'm glad I didn't find it. Do you know what I mean? Like... Anyway, sorry, back to
you. No. You know me, I love a tangent. So obviously we've already said that Kurt Russell was supposed to be Connor McLeod. He says that Goldie Hawn told him, Muck Islander will be pish. I mean, do little, was it Big Trouble in Little China?
I love that. If you've not seen it, don't you be commenting Big Trouble in Little China is a fab film.
I have not seen it. I'll get round to it, right? But it's on Disney Plus. I'll go and watch it straight after this. And they say that they film it in Madison Square Garden, but it was actually filmed in... I can't remember the name of it, but it was this big, massive arena in New Jersey.
All right.
Okay. And that was how they were able to set up all these big rigs, because obviously Madison Square Garden's like, we've got a fucking gig tonight. Yeah. Hurry up. And
that makes sense.
Yeah. And I've never seen any of the other Highlander movies, but Highlander 2 is set in 2024, so I'm like, I should probably get on that if we're like up to date.
Yeah.
But that's another thing. This is a bit of useless information that overlaps with E, but... If there's only one, if there can be only one, mm-hmm. and he's won the prize, mm-hmm. why is there six Highlanders, a TV show,
money,
a spin-off?
Money, because it went on to make loads of money on the video, and that's why they were like, let's make another one.
I smashed it, didn't bother. Because you were saying, like, Highlander 2 is like, there's like aliens and porcupine
Highlander 2 has got absolutely nothing to do with any of the other Highlanders all. Like, they all of a sudden make it about the fact that they're aliens, which wasn't in the story, story at all. But they just went a whole different direction in the second one. So you ignored the second one. Right. To be honest with you, I'm trying to think, when it came out, I would still have been at school, and I must have taken the afternoon off to go and see it. And
that does not surprise me.
I know, and I'm so excited, and I think I came out and I thought, that was good.
Oh, no.
But it wasn't.
Yeah. You're trying to clutch on.
Yeah,
you're
totally.
Like, oh, okay.
Totally. I'm like, I like Michael Ironside. He was in V, but it still wasn't very good. No, it's bad.
Have you got any useless? I know we've been buckling out all the useless information.
More useless information,
if there is any.
Celia Imrie says if they reboot it, she wants Dame Judi Dench to play her part.
I am in.
Which is lovely. She thought she had her Scottish accent down because her dad was from Glasgow, but I'm not sure on that
one. No. No.
Oh, I got another one. Okay. It's not apparently, because she said it. He was supposed to, you know, when he's riding off to battle and she's like, you look after him.
Yeah.
He's supposed to lift her up onto the horse, and she thought, I don't think he can do that. So she just ran beside it.
I love it.
She's like, no offence, Christopher, but. Yeah.
Don't worry about it, big man. I'll just jog along here. Uh-oh. I love that. I've got a bit of like personal useless information, but big James Cosmo in this movie.
Oh yeah.
I love him. Yeah. And he walked mum home one night, and mum said he was very nice and like very polite. And then I bumped into him. I walked past him in like Central Station when I was like 17. But like, James Cosmo is obviously in every big Scottish movie ever. And like, obviously, as we know, Braveheart is one of my all time 10. And James Cosmo's just been in so much. And I walked past him in Central Station, and I was just looking at him, and I was like, do you know, part of me wanted to go up and be like, thank you so much. You're great. I love you. And I just looked at him, and he looked at me, and he smiled, and I just went, and just walked away. I was like, no problem.
He looks like a big guy, but like working a shipyard or something. He's a big Clyde Bank dude.
Totally,
but like, he seems like such a nice guy as well.
I've never heard anything bad about him. He just shows up, does his graft.
Yeah, he just
lovely.
Keeps working, doesn't he? He just keeps turning up, and everything, it might be terrible.
No, but
he's always there.
And he's in, because he's in, like, even pops up, I mean, everybody popped up in Game of Thrones, but he even pops up in Game of Thrones, and you're like, of course you
yeah,
did.
Yeah, yeah. Clancy Brown said if there was a reboot, he'd play the James Cosmo character.
Amazing. I'm so in. Give Clancy Brown all of those.
And you're like, Clancy Brown, and tell you what, you can have the whole profit.
Yeah, you deserve it, big man, you deserve it. So, will we move on to my favourite category?
Oh man!
Even though I know, we have so much.
The whole film is.
There's so many plot holes. But my favourite is just the fact that there's an Egyptian prince with a better Scottish accent than the Scottish guy. Well, yeah. Allegedly, comes in and he's big, like, fruity big red jacket, like, one time Ramirez, like, nay bother. I love that Sean Connery didn't even attempt to do even a tiny bit of an Egyptian slash Spanish slash whatever accent.
How do you do an Egyptian stroke Spanish stroke?
With Sean
lived
Connery?
In Japan and had a Japanese wife accent? I don't know.
I would try it, but I would get banned from the internet.
He's quite right for not trying. I think that could have been dangerous.
Yeah. I think as well as, like, how does Sean Connery, like, because obviously Sean Connery comes in and teaches Christopher Lambert all of the, like, rules and traditions and all this kind of thing. How does he know that?
Well, that's the thing. Like, nothing's really ever explained.
Yeah. We're just kind of like, aye, bother.
How does he know that? Yeah. How does any of them know that if they were just born? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, born here on this place. So if you take the second film where they're aliens and they know why.
Right, okay.
If you take it as and they're just born, then yeah, how do any of them actually know what to do?
Because, like,
unless you accidentally behead somebody one day and some lightning comes out your body. Like, how do you come across that information?
Yeah, how do we know the head removal is the one that works?
There's the whole film is A, but, like, from the very beginning, I don't understand why Fazil backflips, like, when they're having a fight. Surely he'd be quicker just walking and running.
He's not
got a sword, quickly take his head off. You know, he's like, I'm going to do some backflips and I'm going to change my sunglasses.
Oh my God, yeah. Like, the continuity errors in this movie, like, Fazil's sunglasses in that one bit go from mirrored to normal to mirrored to normal in about 5 times.
Yeah. Why does, like, when they take Nash in, you know, when the police kind of, they don't arrest him.
No.
But he's clocked a policeman before he gets in the car.
Yep.
Then in the station, he hits two of them and they let him go.
We've been watching Hunters of Law and Order. You don't get away with punching boys.
No, exactly.
That's how they bring half of them in. See, as Brenda. Now, I understand you're seeing big Christopher Lambert. He's sitting there in a bar. It's all smoky and blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, been to the garden? You're like,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
But he does nothing. Like, watching it, he's
not
so creepy.
No, but he's like, I want to walk you home, Brenda.
Yeah. Oh, dang it. And then he, like... So she goes, she follows him, she watches him get battered off the curtain in a full-on sword fight in the middle of New York.
He gives her into trouble for following him.
Go home, Brenda. And then she's, like, planning this thing, also for another continuity error, in the bit she puts the gun in the middle drawer, and then when he pulls it out, it's the top drawer.
Yeah, see, you're paying too much attention, man.
Listen, this is the stuff that gives me life force. But then, like, he just gives, like, really creepy vibes, and then it's only after she, one, sees his mad war room with all the, like, stuff, then stabs him that she's like, ah, you're the man for me. I'm like, Brent, are you all right? Like, what's happening? Do you some therapy?
Is that not the most beautiful apartment he lives in?
Oh my God,
but why does he get a lift up to the top and then walks down the stairs to the sofa? I'd do that. It's the most awesome apartment.
It's so good. I the pure big massive one. The fish tank. The huge fish tank.
So cool.
That's like a fish tank dad would have wanted.
Do you prefer the Highlander bits or do you prefer the New York bits?
See, now you're asking me if I prefer.
I don't know. I don't have a preference.
Yeah, no, I'm here for the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole thing.
I'm here for the whole thing. I do like the Highlander bits purely because I'm like, oh, Ellen Johnny Castle. I've been there. Do you know what I mean? But no, but as well, every time he walks about in his Big Mac, I'm like, yes.
Yeah, it's so 80s New York,
it's
man.
So good.
I'm like, it's got a touch of the Equalizer vibes about it, man. Yeah. I was like, oh, loving it.
Yes. And I don't even know if this counts as an. But there's just so many like British soap stars in this movie. Like there's
Lauren Cheap.
But your man from Emmerdale is his brother. The guy who plays Castigere is like the big main doctor in Holby City.
Yeah.
Like I was when we were watching it, I was like, somebody will need to phone Dad and ask if anybody for the bills in this. Like,
the same as I'm pretty sure I haven't fact checked, but I always thought, you know, the guy that kills me a million times, the Jewel in the Jewel.
Oh yeah.
He was in Eastie's.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, I think he did something horrible to Kathy Beale. Something like that. I'm sure I've got a mad memory about that. Another story, they filmed him being I think he was washing Napoleon's windows, right?
Okay.
And then he falls off the window and they think he's trying to kill Napoleon, and then he becomes pals with Napoleon, but they didn't bother putting that
right,
in the
okay.
film. But it was one of the guys who worked on it was like, oh, I think we should keep that and make another movie. So I don't know if there's some like there'd be some really cool extra footage that they filmed lying about somewhere and they went with the jewel scene, which I think was wise because the jewel scene's great. Again, a bit of humour and
so funny. You know. I'm sorry I called your wife a donkey's ass. That terrible accent. I think as well, another A, which is quite a big A, is the prize, like you've sat for thousands of years, hundreds of years, cutting off heads, getting all your lightning bolts through, getting all your extra powers, for you just to become mortal and you can read minds. That is so shit.
I know, but I kind of think like his character, certainly in the film, not in the original story, but he just wants to have a family, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he just wants
yeah.
to be normal and have a family. Like
Heather.
He's lived. Yeah, he's never got over Heather. Never got over Heather.
Oh, Heather!
Until he met weird Brenda.
Big, weird, creepy Brenda.
Big, weird Brenda. So I never got the Brenda thing, but
she gets borderline worst guy for me, but I'll go into her in 5 minutes. But see the Heather, right?
Yeah.
I used to do that bit all the time in the car. Like, my mum would be like, do Highlander. And I'd be like, we're in the Highlands. Where else? We're running down the mountainside. And it's like, when I was watching it, I sent mum a bit of the, like, goodbye, my body, Heather. And she was like, shut up. Oh, Heather. I work with something called Heather, and I'm always like, oh, Heather.
You got to, man. Yeah. You got to. Where was he when Ramirez gets killed? Where was he?
Yeah, I was wondering that when Ramirez is falling off that big plasticine like stair.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? There's nowhere around
to leave.
Why did
he leave a strange ancient Egyptian man with his wife?
Wait, yeah. Because, like, yeah, see, even if, I don't know, there could have been like a 30 second scene before it of just like, go and find a mad plant or something that's going to help you be more whatever. And it's like, nope, just the two of us. Yeah. And there's nothing around them. Like, when it shows you, like, the wee cottage and then the castle's all crumbled, there is nothing there. So I'm like, where are you? What are you up to? Like,
where did they go?
Phone him up, ask him. So that's all my A's. Have you got any
more A's
apart from just the movie?
Yeah, the whole movie. Not particularly. I didn't look at all the what was it you were saying, like things move about the wrong place.
Okay,
there's
okay.
loads of things like that.
I did have a list, but then we got sidetracked and I forgot. So the continuity errors are ripping out of this yep. movie, right? So like there's a scene in the police station where Brenda's bag moves tables six different times. It just goes a wee walk. And then Kurgan's scar moves about six times. 1 minute's in the middle of the neck, next minute it's the side, next minute he's got one down his face, next minute he doesn't. You're like, did anyone phone anyone to check this? Then Fazil's glasses, but then big end fight, silver cup, dramatic, right? He's flooded the thing, we're ready, does that mad like spinny thing under the water looking all yep. creepy. Then they fall through the floor. Where's all the water gone? Why is there not one drop of water on the bottom bit? They're not even wet anymore. And then, do you know, right, Ross pointed this out, right? So I've thought for years, when they get in their final fight and the Kurgan is, like, losing mm-hmm. and Christopher Lambert, like, finally, like, cuts his throat and his eyes go black. For years, I thought that was a fuck-up. And now I'm like, oh, no, that's actually a point of the film. They're going black because he's lost. And I was like, to Ross, why did he do that? And he was like, are you joking? Like, major point plots have just went right over my head because I'm too busy dancing to Queen, do you know what I mean? Do you have a best kill, worst kill of the movie?
I say worst kill is probably the first one, the Fazil one.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And best is the end, is the Kurgan one.
Yeah, oh no.
It's okay. Got to be.
See, I put my worst kill is the Kurgan just because I'm really sad that he's gone. Like, he's just my favourite part of the whole movie.
I mean, it probably is the worst kill because
you
know,
you don't want him to go.
Yeah, and I do feel the Kurgan should have won.
Yeah. Yeah, you just try to tell me this guy with all that. No, no bother. I did put my best kill is Sean Connery purely because it's Sean, but then.
Yeah, the plasticine.
More, yeah, the plasticine stairs, and like there's a couple of bits where Sean, I'm like, you could have got the better of the car getting there. Like, you're just lying in your back, not doing anything.
He gets some lovely wee lines where I see your voice has improved.
Yes. I was between giving it to Sean Connery. I might actually take Sean Connery back now. But or Castagear in the alleyway. Yeah. I know you don't really see him getting killed, but it's the like after effects.
It's a good one. And then the wee mad guy comes up, the vigilante guy with the machine gun. Yes.
That's
another lovely scene. See, when he's in the hospital and the police are interviewing him, and then all of a sudden, like, you don't hear what he says because it goes into.
Just, and they're all just like, no problem.
Yeah. It's just lovely edited.
Totally, totally. Do you have, right, actually, I'm gonna crash in, Lee. I think this is hilarious, right?
Okay.
So the next category is worst guy whose hairline's receding.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Which generally just is who's the arsehole of the movie, but you actually looked for receding hairlines.
I did.
So tell me who your receding hairline is.
Well, of course, the ultimate receding hairline of Highlander is, of course, Sean.
Big Sean.
But then, of course, you've got Fazil, whose hair's just weird.
Yeah.
And then the cop guy, the baldy cop guy.
They're all bald.
They're all baldy. No, you know what I mean. The other guy. The guy who, for some reason, in the police station is drinking a coffee with his shoes off and his feet up. I thought that was pure mock-up. And his mad weird feet thing. I'm the same. Don't like feet.
See the one... I think we're talking about the same cop guy where he goes, he went in there and he lost his head. What's his name? And he's like, I don't know. And he goes, okay, his name was Amon Fazil. And it's like, you gave that all the way in 30 seconds. Like, there's no interview interrogation here. You're just like, nah, here's my information.
Yeah, the cops are just there.
Yeah. I can't remember his name, but my worst guy whose hairline's receding is the awful cop who just screams at him, like, see when he comes out. I think he's the first one he punches. He's like,
you cruising there.
Yeah. And it's like, watch him. Come on, come on, come on. And I'm like, shut up. Why are you shouting?
Yeah, but he gets punched twice. So
perfect. Chef's kiss. Like, everything he's like, I know he's only in it for about 4 minutes, but I'm like, oh, you.
No, he is. He's irritating.
Yeah. And Brenda is a borderline worst guy whose hairline's receding for me.
Yeah.
Purely just, do you need to scream that loudly? No, I get it. I would also shit myself if I was driving.
That's what girls had to do in 80s films, though. That's what they did. They screamed.
I know. That's the only
just,
thing.
They were just bystanders.
Oh, it's so... Feminism didn't exist in the 80s. No. I get it, too. Like, obviously, you're driving about with a Kurgan playing chicken. I'd be screaming, too. But for fuck's sake. Like,
yeah.
Let's calm it down to a riot, though. Do you know what I mean? Do you have any discount versions of...
Now, I've been racking my brain.
Right.
No.
No.
Because see, the thing is, right, they're actually all discount versions of themselves. Because, apart from Sean. But Christopher and Clancy only really made one really good movie. Do you know what I mean? I would say. I know Clancy's made a lot of other stuff, but nothing compares to... Mostly, if you're honest, like, they've all just made a lot of rubbish.
Yeah, Clancy's just kind of mostly went down like the voice acting.
Yeah,
route,
well,
like...
he's done some good TV. What was it?
Green Mile.
The Boys.
Green Mile.
Yeah, he was in a really cool series called Carnival a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
He's done some good TV stuff. I will always love him. But I mean, that's the pinnacle, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. I remember when he popped up in The Boys, and me and Ross were like, oh my god, it's Clancy.
Yeah, I know. As soon as you see, that was after Highlander. Whenever you saw Clancy in the movie, you went, bad guy.
Yes!
You could put the video on Clancy Brown, bad guy.
With a face like that, and a voice like that, and a name like that, you can only be the bad guy.
Yeah, and he's big dude, man, big dude.
I don't have any discount versions of either. Honestly, me and Ross thought this category was really funny, and see, every episode so far, we have never been able to think. Honestly, see, there'll be like random movies, but we were actually watching, not for the podcast, and we'll be like, oh, he's a discount version of him. See, when it's actually things we need to do, we're like, what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Christopher just went on to make kind of straight-to-video movies. I used to watch, you know, where you've got a kind of, there's a bad movie, but you can't help but watch it every time it's on the telly.
Yes.
He was in a film called Fortress, and then Fortress 2. And that basically is discount Christopher Lambert. Okay. He became discount.
Yeah. Love that. Final category, I'm out. Is there any part of this movie you're like, nah, I'll go for a pee?
None. So much so, as I say, I went to see the sequel. I even got the third one out on video. I watched the series. I watched the other series. Then I watched the series film, as I think it was called Endgame, with Adrian Paul from the TV and Christopher Lambert. And then I think there was another one after that, which I did watch too. So no, there was at no point I've punished myself. Yeah, for years.
I have gone through it for the Highlander series.
Yep.
Sometimes when I hear you talk, I'm like, ah, this is why I am the way that I am.
Yeah,
like,
I know, and I apologise for that.
Because you and me, when we're into something, we are into
pure
it.
Into it.
There's no, like,
I know.
We either hate it or we love it, and it becomes, like, obsessive.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because I'm not being funny, like, there's so many movies you're coming back for that we have watched. Like.
I'm up for it, man. Up for it. Well, I just love movies, and this has always been a pleasure. So you asked me to do this, there's like, absolutely, man.
What do you mean? I need to come up and talk about Highlander for ages and get a free dinner.
And it's like before I used to, I mean, I had it in DVD, video, watched it, like, and now I don't have it to put a DVD on, so it's like, watch Demon Service is on, you know what I mean? And it's like, of course I'm going to watch it again, but then I didn't actually need to, because it's like, you do the script along with it anyway, don't you?
Honestly, that's like one of my favourite memories of you and me, is just like sitting on your couch, watching Highlander, and two of us at the exact same time are just like, I'll bloody well walk out of here. Yeah. I loved it. We're like, we remember every line. That is the one line that we've said 5 times during this podcast. I swear we've said this movie.
I know. I think it's a great line.
It's so good. No, I'm the same as you though. I have not one bit. Like, I'll pause this movie, go for a pee, and I don't care how many times I've seen it.
There's the other most memorable line, better to burn out than to fade away. Clancy just threw that in from a Neil Young song. You know what I mean?
I know.
Just like,
can I grass you in, Ross? So Ross has It's Better to Burn Out Than to Fade Away tattooed on his arm. I did not know that it was a Neil Young.
Yeah.
Neil Young. Didn't know it was a Neil Young song. Didn't even know it was a Kurt Cobain reference to about Neil Young. And Ross came in, this is his first ever tattoo, and he smoked, I'm pure jealous of that. Look, I'm pure inked up. And I was like, oh my God, Highlander! And his face dropped. He was like, what?
I'm a Highlander.
I think that was the first day I was like, oh, a Highlander tattoo. Like,
well,
Ross,
okay,
like, no.
if you're dropping it, I'm going to drop my other half in it, because when we first got together, we were pure texting about movies and that, we're texting about Highlander. He's like, oh, Kenneth MacLeod, that's a great film. Kenneth MacLeod from the Clan. Kenneth MacLeod. Aye, okay, pretty good then.
I never bother, Darren.
He still calls him Kenneth.
Kenneth.
Kind of hero's name's Kenneth, man. No offense to Kenneth, but no.
Any Kenneths out there, we apologise.
It doesn't roll off the tongue. Is it
Connor MacLeod of the Clan MacLeod.
Exactly. Like Kenneth MacLeod.
Darren can never name anybody right.
No, I know.
When you get Darren on for an episode and watch him, just try and name an actor.
I know. He always watches the film and he goes, oh, that's thingy into this. He's waiting for me to say it. And I go, who, Darren? Who? Tell me.
Yeah,
it's Robert De Niro. No, it's Al Pacino, Darren.
God, yeah, watching Heat with Darren must be an absolute nightmare, man.
It was.
We'll get Darren up. We'll just be like, name any actor in this movie, Darren. Oh, that's just the podcast. It's just Darren naming
That'll
actors.
That'll do. But no, absolutely. I'm never out of this film. Never. Yeah. There's always a time to watch it.
Yeah,
always.
Absolutely.
Bad
absolutely.
Mood, good mood. I'm going to put that film on. Also, listen to the soundtrack like a million times.
Yes.
Just so
yes.
Good. Queen are just... I mean, I loved Queen anyway from Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
I think that was like my first... introduction to Queen was like through Flash Gordon movies, and then that is a kind of magic, just so good.
Yeah,
so good.
You were my introduction to Queen. And I remember you gave me, because I can't remember if the first time I watched it was with you or with Dad, but uh-huh. You and me have watched it enough that it's all blended together. Do you know what I mean? And I remember being like, oh, Highlander, and you just like hit me with a kind of magic album, and that was me for like ages, just that one album on repeat.
But then I think, I mean, Queen works so well with it, because like, I don't feel they took themselves too seriously either, but they gave it their all, which
absolutely.
Is what everybody did.
Totally. Do you know the way, like, sometimes when like bands will do soundtracks for things, there's always like that one kind of push one.
Yeah.
Not one. Every song in this movie is a banger. Like I could go on about Queen for another 20 minutes. So that's us for this week. Are you coming back?
Yes.
Right, stunning, because I have a list of movies for us to do. I'm so glad you said yes, because there's about 6 movies that we're doing.
Did I get through that without swearing?
Oh my God, did she? It's
I
just
think
me.
I might have.
Well done.
Thanks.
It's just me letting the side down.
So maybe I should do the end title thing that you do and just go, fuck.
Yeah. No worries. Well, thank you so much for listening this week with me and my guest star, Lee.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Listen, come back.
I'll talk about Highlander on there. I'll text you later going, oh, I remember this bit. I love that bit.
This is just a never-ending podcast. No worries. We'll see you next week. Remember and follow us on Instagram at 10 out of 10 we'd watch again. And if you get any thoughts or opinions, let us know. And we'll see you next Wednesday. Bye.
Bye.